Welcome to the Confidence Lounge podcast, where we cover all things confidence in life and business. I'm your host, Elise Conroy, and I'm on a passionate mission to help thousands of women across the world feel more confident from the inside out. Because not on my watch am I ever going to watch another woman do insecure life and business again. So if you're ready to become your most confident self, mama, or businesswoman, you're exactly where you're supposed to be. So grab your favorite beverage, get nice and comfy, and get ready to receive today's confidence injection. Welcome back to the Confidence Lounge podcast. So I am telling you, I'm with one of the most remarkable women who I've ever met. You all, I always say you're in for a treat, but this is like the biggest of the biggest of treats.
No.
Okay, I want to welcome on a dear friend of mine. I cannot wait to tell you the story on how we met. I cannot wait for her to share her beautiful brain with you. But first and foremost, let me welcome Miss Caro Perez Grissom to the Confidence Lounge. Hey.
Thanks, okay. My friend. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I cannot wait to get into this chat because here is the deal. So Ms. Caro is the Senior Talent Development Manager for one of the biggest tech companies in the world. And I really wanted to bring her on because I am talking to so many of you all right now that are struggling when it comes to getting hired, and you are just having challenge after challenge after challenge when it comes to getting a job with confidence. So I thought, why not reach into my beautiful network? Because, you know, I'm all about the Elevation Squad and having all the best people around me to pick the brain of somebody who does this, lives this, breathes this, and just this. We are in the hand of experts here, friends. So thank you for joining. I'm so excited you are here.
Too much credit.
Credit where credit is due. Okay, so why don't you introduce yourself? Tell us what you do, how you got to this point in your career, and then we will go from there.
Yeah. So I'm Caro Perez Grissom, as Elise said, and I am a senior talent development manager for a huge tech firm. But it's not the only role that I've held. I've been an executive recruiter. I've been a recruiter. I've been an HR business partner. So really all in the world of HR. And I like to think that even on my own career journey to get here, because I didn't start this way, I was a career switcher, as we call it at times. There was a lot of learning that I had on not just how to accelerate my own career and think about taking the steps that I wanted to get to that next place, but even how I could help others along the way, right? When I was in business school, I was a peer mentor, a career coach. So I tend to find these things just naturally come in my personality. I'm always happy to share. So when Elise reached out, I said, yeah, let's do it for sure.
Yes. Oh, I'm so excited. And I think that it's one of those things, like I want to talk about how we met, because this is, like you said before we hit record, it's the importance of having a network, right? So let me tell you
and
this
being bold with your network. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Okay. So I have a fabulous meet cute story. If y'all have watched The Holiday, you know what a meet cute means. That's one of my favorite movies. So I was on a business trip in Italy and my flight got canceled. So I was stuck in Milan. Oh, womp womp. Such a horrible place to be stuck, right?
Yeah, right.
So I opened up my Google and I found a lake cruise at Lake Como. And I thought, wow, okay, Switzerland day trip, lake cruise, let's do this. So I get on this boat and the first person I see is Miss Caro. And I'm like, oh my God. Okay. I don't know how not to be a creeper, but I really want to talk to her and her beautiful friend, Jess, who I just love and adore as well. And I started hanging out with this group of girls and they were super, super cool. But all day I just found myself wanting to talk to them and I didn't know how it was going to happen. So I went and spent lunch by myself. I went and did some shopping at Gucci. I get back on the bus and all of a sudden I see them eyeing my Gucci bag because we are about to go for the boat to get on Lake Como. And I was like, oh, we're going to be friends. So we just started chatting. And next thing you know, we're on a lake cruise in Lake Como. And I'm like, is this real life? We're doing pictures on the back. Like it's the Titanic. It was the most magical
thing. I will tell you, I often go back to those pictures and they're probably one of my favorites, and I don't know if you know it exists, but it's a selfie that I take of Jess and I, and you are in the background, like maybe minutes before we have this introduction and we meet. And to your point, like I totally felt it when you came over and talked to us. I was like, oh, I like this girl. We're definitely going to hang out. And let's not fool the audience here. It didn't stop at that cruise, that little boat cruise. We went out that night. You had a flight to catch. You didn't sleep. You maybe just went back to like grab your stuff at the hotel.
Yep.
But it was that bold approach and the, which is funny, I'll talk about it in our interview, if that's what we're calling this, right? There's so much power in not having fear because the worst they can say is no.
Yes.
They're but not going to blacklist you. The worst they can say is no in so many situations. So yes. That was one of those moments, like, just shoot your shot, like the youngins say.
But I will tell you, I was horrified in that moment. I was, really? I don't ever go up to people, but I just knew I wanted to hang out with you. And I was like, they just seem so fun. I need to meet them immediately. It's like that gravitational. I just felt we were soul sisters. Yeah. And so I trusted the pull, and I'm so glad I did, because what was that? Like almost 6 years ago, I think at this point. And I just 5, 6 years, 2018, maybe.
Eight? Almost yeah. eight? It'll be eight this year.
This is why I don't do math. So anyways, but it was one of those things where it was just such a beautiful soul partnership and just best thing ever. So if you ever are having a moment where you are scared to go up to somebody, but you know, you really want to meet them, just do it, because you don't know what incredible friendship can be born in the process. And I'm so grateful that we got to meet in such a fabulous place. And I remember calling my husband and I was like, I met these girls from Miami and they are the shit. I was like, I love them so much. And we're just going to have a beautiful friendship. And here we are now, 8 years later. Thank you for the math.
Love it.
Yes. So that is a beautiful way to open this up, because for so many of us, if your flight gets canceled, it's like, oh, this is the worst day ever. No, it could be your best day ever. You could be meeting the most incredible people all across the world. So take that chance, go up to the person, book the lake cruise and like Como.
Exactly, right?
Okay. So I want to know, with, because you gave us a snippet of what you do. So let's talk about, what do you love most about your job? Like, you get to develop people, you get to help people get placed. Like, what do you love about that process?
You know, it's funny, because as I look back on how I got to where I got, you'll always hear like, oh, it's a journey. That is exactly what it was for me. It was curveball, change of route, like uproot your life and like trust that this was going to be the right next step. And a lot of self-discovery, right? So being really self-aware of what I'm good at, what I'm not good at, what I like, what I don't like. And I'm being as honest as saying, okay, cool. In this day-to-day job, I don't like how many hours I spend on email, or I love when I get to talk to a client and like really get to the root of what's bothering them. Those little pieces of discovery, those aha moments, are exactly what helped me decide, okay, what did I want to do with my life? Because again, I didn't start in HR. I had an undergraduate degree in finance. I was working in wealth management. And I had this moment where I'm like, I just don't think this is the future for me.
Yeah.
And I had to push fear aside, because I'll tell you, and it's funny, I often compare it to those like bad relationships that you don't want to get out of. It's, oh, but I've already put so much time in. Like, I've been in the industry 5 years. Like, we've been dating for X amount of years, whatever that is. Warren Buffett, a very smart and successful man, said, something's value is not measured by what you put into it. What? I could buy a rundown house for $20,000, put $500,000 into it, make it look like this beautiful mansion. But if you're not in the right city, in the right street, you know, with the right neighbors, whatever it is, that house is only going to be worth what it's worth. So never measure something by what you've put into it if the data is telling you like, this isn't right. Yes. And that's what I had to realize. Like, it doesn't matter how much time, how much education I've put into this. I need this career switch. And ironically enough, what I most love about my job is taking people through that same journey, is having them discover, what do you love? What do you not love? What do you want to do in your next role? What's like game changer, you know, can't get a job without this kind of thing. And when they don't know how to answer the question, my immediate advice is, well, take a moment and be super self-critical.
Yeah.
Understand what doesn't come naturally to you. Is that something that you want to put yourself in a challenging environment to build and to gain that skill? Or do you want to steer clear of that and instead lean into what you're really good at? And again, it's this self-discovery, again, being critical, but also using so many resources. I don't know how many self-assessments I've taken. Briggs-Meyer, Gallup StrengthsFinder. These are the data points, right? It's how do you take data from being human? Well, we have traits, we have strengths, we have not so many strengths, right? That help point you into, where should I be focusing my energy? Where should I be focusing my development? So that is very much incorporated into my day-to-day, be it as a recruiter and connecting the dots for someone looking for a new role, or connecting the dots for my business looking for a new leader or a new candidate, or even as a development manager, right? What is your career development goal? How do we get you that? What do we have at our disposition? What do we have to go and kind of create for you? So
yeah,
I just love working with people.
It's so fun, right?
Theme.
Yeah. I love that. Okay. So I know, as we started this conversation with, there are so many people that are struggling to get hired right now. As I mentioned before we hit record, I just talked to somebody who had been through their 49th interview without a callback. Why do you think it is that so many people are struggling right now to get hired?
So I'm no way an expert on this, but I think I've seen a few things that signal to me why it could be more difficult. I think the first is the obvious. It is a tough market right now. It is a tough economy. Companies are going to react differently. Some are going to get very conservative. And I seriously mean like that rainy day account. They're like not touching it. They don't want to spend because that's how they prepare for the storm or how they get through the storm, whatever that might be. Other companies might be riskier and say, hey, you know, demand is pointing this way. Let's go and hire more people. But if demand changes, well, then they have to reconcile their workforce, and then we get into layoffs and whatnot, which then it's this vicious cycle, right? Because more layoffs, more people in the market. Yeah. I think the big differentiator, it's what's happened in the last, and I can't believe I'm going to say 4 years, but pandemic and post-pandemic, is we have a lot more remote jobs, hybrid jobs. So Elise in California, Gato in Montana, and Jess in Miami, we're now all viable candidates for that same job because it doesn't matter where we live. Where before, oh, it's a California-based job. So at least that's going to be your gig, right? Unless I was going to relocate. So the playing field has been leveled a little bit. I think companies are just trying to get creative with what they do with their workforce. You know, oftentimes research has shown that it's cheaper or more efficient to develop your internal workforce than going out and hiring a new employee. But they also have to do this skills inventory to say, great, do we have the workforce that we can upskill to that? Or do we need to buy these skills in the market? So every company is going to be different, makes it super hard for the candidates because you have to adjust to every company.
Yeah.
I think if you can tell your story, right, if you can connect the dots correctly for the recruiter, for the hiring manager, things can get a little easier.
Yes.
But it's still tough. I won't diminish that.
And like we talked about before we hit record, I think I find a commonality when I'm working with somebody for career placement or career coaching, career development, when we say, be yourself, just go into the interview. And yeah, exactly. But then where people struggle is they don't know who they are. So they get in this vicious pattern of feeling like they need to be like somebody else because that's what they saw as a success model, or they just struggle to bring their true authenticity because maybe they're insecure. Maybe they lead with a lot of self-doubt. This is all stuff that I treat in coaching, because you don't realize those little things are actually what are keeping you from getting the job. And when I have interviewed so many people, and they will come in and I'm like, I know this isn't really who you are. Like, show me you, let you shine. And it's so hard because it's like, you know that there's something more there and you're pulling it out, but you're not seeing the real them. And I find so many people struggle in that area because they don't even know who to bring to the interview. So what advice would you have to somebody?
What's going to be worse is if you don't bring your authentic self, and let's say you do get the job, you have just made it so much harder for yourself because you have to keep up that facade when you're in the role, or then you start to feel, you know, what we all hear about, that imposter syndrome, the, should I have gotten this job? Like, am I right for this? Do I have the skills? So whatever self-confidence was missing, now you've dug it even deeper. Yeah. So you have to do the work ahead of time. And I'm not even saying, you know yourself and get yourself to that perfect place.
Yeah.
There's so much value, and I'll say this as a recruiter, there's so much value in being open-minded to failure, in saying, if I fail, I'm going to learn something from that. Yeah. And having that learner mentality is way more valuable than I'm perfect, this is everything that I've done and all my accomplishments and all my awards and recognitions. That's only part of it. Like, you have to come in with that vulnerability to say, hey, I don't do this well, but here's how I've challenged myself to try to do it better.
Oh, I love that. I find that's one of the number one fears that the women that I work with struggle with is the fear of failure. And there's an opposite fear, the fear of success, right? I know it's we've all faced it at some point, but I just truly look at failure as an inevitable part of your success journey. Yeah. And it's just feedback that's going to inform your next best success. So why are we so scared of this?
You have to be open to feedback.
Yeah.
And know to separate what is maybe personal, which I'll tell you, 95% of the time, it's not personal. It's really constructive and meant to hold the mirror up so you can improve something.
Yeah.
It takes the courage to ask for the feedback as well, to say, hey, like, I want you to tell me where I could improve, where I can't, because in that next conversation, it's going to be great. Can you help me get there? Who is in my network? Who is in your network that could help me develop that skill? Could help me rethink this for next time. We have to constantly be asking ourselves, what can I learn from this? Because if not, that fear is going to consume you.
100%. And I think that that is what I missed starting off in business, was having that beginner's mentality, because there was a part of me that felt like that was failure. Mm-hmm. And I think that because I had had so much success in my corporate career, I just assumed that everything was going to translate over as an entrepreneur and a CEO, and it didn't. And I would beat myself up for not knowing. And I'm like, hold on. When I first started off in my career in beauty, did I beat myself up for not having the answers? No, I just learned. Why am I doing this to myself? But I was using my past against me and making it mean something negative about me as a person, because I didn't yet know what I needed to do to succeed in this new facet of my life. So I think you nailed that in such a beautiful way I wrote down having a beginner mentality and just being yourself and open-minded to failure, because truly those are three success fundamentals that will always set you up for success.
I'll tell you, one of the best phrases that I've incorporated into my vocabulary is when someone asks me something that I don't know, I say, you know, I don't exactly know that answer, but I can find out for you.
Yes.
It's not trying to come up with something on the spot. Oh yeah, you know, I think what it is. Because then if later on that's contradicted, that's going to have no harm. Where if you would have said, great question, I'm not sure I know the exact answer, but super happy to go and learn and find out for you. Like, that has so much value, almost, I maybe even say more value than giving them the right answer, right? It's, hey, I'm committed to giving this to you. I don't want to give you the wrong answer, so let me just go find out.
Right. And the beautiful thing that comes on the other side of that approach is trust. And I remember I got that. I got that feedback really early on from a mentor. And he's like, it's okay to say that you don't know. And I was like, no, it's not, because then I'm going to be a fraud. And he's like, no, just say that you don't know in this moment. You're going to find out, and then always follow up. And he's like, that will always make you shine, Elise. And I never forgot that. And I would always give that to people who I was mentoring or even now coaching. And it is so true, because it's not a problem. It doesn't mean anything about you that you don't know.
Yeah.
But when you're willing to go seek out the answer, and someone's going to see, oh my God, that's a proactive person. She's resourceful. She actually came back to me. Oh my God, she's the person I want to work with. That is so, so valuable. Oh, I love that.
And you become, you sort of create this piece about like being indispensable to them, right? Like, wait, every time I go to Elise, she doesn't know the answer, but she gets me the answer.
Yeah.
So that starts to speak again to the trust. I love that you called that out.
Yeah.
The network that you have, the way that you build relationships, the way that you're able to tap into those relationships and get something from them. So it's such a powerful phrase that I think we underestimate what it can do and build for us. So
yeah, and even just as an individual, the self-trust that you're going to gain to know, okay, it's okay that I don't know in this moment, but I always learn. I'm always the woman who finds out. I'm always the woman who gets to the answer, right? Like, I think that, because when I look at why women feel insecure, why women are lacking on confidence, it's because they lack belief in themselves, they lack trust in themselves, and they're not taking the proper actions that align with who they want to be. So when those three fundamentals aren't in place, of course, you're going to be sitting in the meeting like, I feel like I have to give the perfect answer and I have to be the perfect employee.
And then the panic.
Yeah,
and then the
drive. And then all of a sudden you have somebody following you in a meeting. They're going to know I was wrong, right?
Yeah,
we don't want
yeah.
any of that. So just say, I don't know. I will get back to you, and then follow up in a timely manner. Yeah. Thank you, people.
Exactly.
Yes. Okay. So tell me, when you were recruiting, what were the things that you looked for in candidates?
I would definitely say, going back to that authenticity, that being yourself, knowing yourself well, knowing what your strengths are and what your areas of opportunity are, coming in prepared. If anyone listening thinks they're just going to wing it in an episode, in an interview, you're not. It takes research. It takes preparedness because, again, there are so many candidates out there all wanting the same job, and some are putting way more research and preparedness into it. So make sure, if this is a job that's the one for you, right? It's the one you love. It's the one you want to put everything into, then mirror that in the effort that you're putting. I think someone who's good at connecting dots. So I always said, as a recruiter, you're going through dozens, sometimes hundreds of resumes. Then from there, you're going to initial screens or conversations, whatever, you know, the organization calls them. And then you're going to interviews. Like, there's a lot of information to process and get through to then make your recommendation to the hiring manager of who's the right candidate. What was amazing for me, and even what I did as a candidate when I was applying, was let's connect the dots when they ask me a question. So the question might be something like, tell me a time you had to influence, you know, a superior on a recommendation you were making. Okay, great. I want to set up the situation. And if you have heard or you haven't heard of the STAR model, that's yes. kind of what I'm going to talk about.
Yeah.
But I had an amazing career coach teach me the START model. So I'll tell you about the T in the end. But basically, you set up the situation, you talk about the tasks that you know, kind of delineated for yourself to be able to get this goal. What were the actions? What were the results? You know, how did you get to convince or influence this leader to take that recommendation? Was it data-driven? All that, super important. Where you're going to make yourself stand out is how you tie it back. That's the last T. So saying, you know, and the reason that I think that makes me a really strong candidate for this opportunity, for this position, is that in my research, I know that this team works with so many different stakeholders where influence is going to be an important piece. And having gone through that challenge and learned what to do and what not to do helps me do it much easier now.
Yes.
So you've now basically almost done the role of the recruiter where they are like, I don't have to put two and two together why his answer makes him a good candidate. He's done that for me, or she's done that for me.
Yes.
So that tying it back, and again, that comes from knowing what is the role looking for? What does this company value in their employees and the way that they do business in what their priorities are? Is it the bottom line? Is it the customer, right? If you have all those pieces and incorporate that into your answers, you're going to see a huge difference in even how the recruiter or the hiring manager reacts to your responses, right? They feel like, wow, this person really has put the work to make themselves stand out for this role. So
yes, I love that. I remember interviewing, she was one of my most powerful assistants I've ever had. And you could tell the difference between somebody who just read the company bio and then walked into the interview versus somebody who did their research. And she walked in, and this was when I was working for the company Orly. She was dressed like one of my favorite nail polish colors that I've ever developed. First of all, major points, right? Saying my outfit was influenced by this shade because I love it so much. And then she goes into, basically, I asked her one question. She's like, here's how my presence at this company will impact the bottom line. And she opens up a portfolio, and I literally have chills as I'm telling you this, because my mouth was on the floor. I had never seen somebody come into an interview so prepared except for myself. And she beat me. And I remember when I interviewed at Estee Lauder, I literally had to interview with 17 people. It was like the interview that never ended. It was now I'm interviewing with this VP and this director and this, it was just a lot. And so they flew my big boss out from New York to interview me. And I decided, okay, it is today that I am going to knock the socks off of this person. I want her to walk in and be like, what did I just meet? I wanted her to just have that same exact moment that I had when that assistant had come in. I was like, I'm going to create that. So I set up the whole entire room, like the Sephora that my products that I would be developing would go into. I literally had risers and acrylic towers and every product that I had ever made. And I staged it. And I had, you know, it made it a full sensory experience. I had smells in the air, you know, fragrances I developed. I literally created this
everything.
Whole entire environment. And she walked in and she was like, I don't have any questions. And she literally was like, the fact that you did this, and I found out after the fact they'd interviewed 30 candidates prior to me. This position was open for a year, but I had gone so far above and beyond, and I tied everything back. So I already had presentations made of, here's the products I'm going to develop for you. Here's my projected outlook on sales.
Here's the dots for them.
Yes. And here's how I'm going to work with the teams and blah, blah, blah. Here's my cross-functional strategy. And they were literally just like, Oh my God. And it was that again and again, 17 times, because I couldn't just do it for one boss, because all 17 of those people had a impact on the decision that was made. And I want everybody to treat this as if the one and only chance that you have to make that impression is that moment. So why would you waste that? Why would you not connect to the dots? Why would you not tie it back?
You have to connect it to just how passionate you are. Like, I would hope that anyone listening to this is looking for the tips, the advice, the skills that they need to land the job, the career, let's use that word, the career that they love, that they're dying for. And that is the difference. That comes through. And I will tell you, when I was interviewing for basically to get into my new HR career path, you know, having left finance, I had a different company that I thought was going to be my end game. Like, that's the one I want to work for forever because they give back to the community and it's in the health field. Oh my gosh. And I did every mock interview, every practice run as though I was pitching to that company. I knew everything about that company because I would have been honored to work for them.
Yeah.
And I got the gig. Ultimately, I went tech because
things
changed for me, but it was in coming through that authentic to say, like, I'm not applying for a job. I'm applying for a career that I love. And this is why I've done the self-discovery journey. I know what I'm good at and why it's going to bring value to your company. I know that what I'm passionate about is XYZ, and that's exactly what your organization does. Like, bringing in that joy and passion.
We're and the tenacity. Here. Like, I can feel that from you as you're saying this. Yeah. I'm like, yes, you're hired.
You know, exactly. Like, it's at the end of the day, we're all human and we feel emotion. So connecting on that emotional level is going to make a huge difference to someone that's just kind of spewing out what their strengths are, what they've done, what their accomplishments are. Like, great. We've heard that in every interview, right? Like, really make that personal connection to the organization, to the individual you're talking to. Ask great questions. I am sometimes flabbergasted at the little questions that folks bring to interviews. When if I had a chance to get in front of one person at my dream company, I would ask a million things.
Right.
I would ask a million things because I have this curiosity
yes.
to know more, not yes. because, oh, I know it's part of the process and I should be doing this. So you just really have to come in with authenticity, with intentionality. Everyone's time is valuable. So just come in with the pointed questions, with the pointed answers that show that you really, really care about working at this organization.
Yes. And I always used to think as an interviewer, it was such a red flag when someone didn't have questions for me. I'm like, why don't you, this is your bait, right? Like this, we're entering into a relationship here. Right. But I also want to give one tip that I find people to kind of misunderstand the difference here. So a lot of times when people would come in an interview, they would say, you know, how they could benefit the company, but they would spend a lot more time on how this job would change their life. Okay, I want to pause on that for a second, because I think a lot of people, they don't understand the point of getting questions like this, because yes, we want to know your career goals and such, but we're hiring you to change the face of our company.
Problems, yeah.
Yes. And I was just reading the book Girl Boss from Sophia Amoruso, and she talks about when she's hiring, people would come in and say, oh, I want to work for Nasty Gal because I have this dream of being in fashion and I want to open up my own brand and blah, blah, blah. And when people would do that to me of like, oh, I want to have my own beauty company, I'm like, red flag. Because
we're gonna
now
hire you, then so
you're gonna
you
leave. Yes. So I think there's a fine line there. And if you have any thoughts on this, I'd love to hear that, because there's a way to sell yourself where you are positioning and demonstrating your value without 100% saying, oh, I'm making it all about me. But when you make it all about you, then you lose the interviewer real quick. So if you have any thoughts on that, I'd love to hear.
Super, super good point. I think it starts with, to your point, like knowing what to share and what not to share. Sharing what your aspirations are, great. Tie them back to the company. Oh,
yes.
I have, you know, these aspirations of working for or working with this highly recognized brand. Great. To yourself, it might be your own, the brand that you create one day. They don't need to know that, right?
Yeah.
Focus. And also knowing that for you to get to that place of having your own brand and going off and doing your own thing, the experience that you're going to get from this organization is invaluable.
Yep.
So regardless of what your 5-10 year horizon looks like, there is value in you getting into this organization now. So if you have to adjust your questions to just be talking about that 5-year timeline, do it. Because it's true. A company is not going to want to, going back to the earlier point, it is very expensive to hire a new employee versus developing an internal one. They're not going to want to spend all this money to bring you in when you already have an exit date.
Yeah.
Like, that's just not going to fly with them. So just knowing how to adjust your story, right? And how the same aspirations that you have for yourself personally, well, how can you bring that to the organization? How can this passion that you have, even if it's an entrepreneurial spirit, like, that's not something that we move away from because to us it signals, oh, they're going to leave. No, that means you're going to try to find new opportunities for our company. You're going to try to think of new things that we haven't even discovered, right? You're going to bring all that value to us.
Yeah.
If later you decide to go off and do it on your own, awesome. But focus your interview on what you're going to bring to that organization for sure.
Yes. Oh, so important. Okay. So let's talk about skills. So I want to pick your brain on the most underrated qualities of a candidate and employee and the most bankable qualities of an employee or candidate. So let's start with underrated. What would you say are some underrated qualities?
It's not going to sound new. It's a lot of what we've talked about. It's that self-awareness.
Okay.
That piece of I've done the work. I know where my strengths are, where my not so strengths are. I don't like to call them weaknesses, where my opportunities are. And being able to tell that story, right? So never come in with a list. Oh, what are your strengths? This is my list. No, make it a story about how that strength has taken you from point A to point B in your career. So self-awareness, storytelling. If you can take me on a journey, on a concise journey, don't take me through, you know, a saga. Like, let's keep it concise so that we can have a robust conversation. But being able to tell that story well, and again, being vulnerable. So not presenting yourself as this perfect candidate, but also talking about what we'll get into shortly, the weaknesses, right? And how you've had growth from them. And then I think the most bankable quality is going to be that learner mentality. Mm. It's going to be the, I have failed so many times, but failure once, I learned this. Failure two, I learned this. Failure three, I learned that. And how you applied it, right? If you come in trying to tell the story of like, I am so meticulous that I do everything in my power not to fail, that signals to me that you might be afraid of what you might discover if you fail. That you maybe have started that self-discovery journey, but you're scared to fully open the box because you don't want to focus on those opportunities, right? So if you come in already embracing that, like, let's also take into consideration the job market, the industry, whatever organization you're part of. We are all on this journey of rapid growth. We have AI coming into the picture. You have just in general, technology that is changing the ways that we work. If you're not exuding these qualities of being able to learn and adjust, we're not sure you're going to be making it in a very high pace changing job market or just, you know, industry, whatever industry that might be in. So, I think it's not even to say like, oh, I need to be able to talk about how I've learned from my failures at work. We are humans. Again, the traits that come up in these assessments and these personality tests, they flow into what we do at work, right? So I might say, oh, you know, the last 3 years of work have gone really smoothly. I have been successful in all my projects, but actually my personal life, I tried to take up skiing and I failed miserably. But instead, I realized that it was because XYZ, and I went and I got a coach and I was able to ski better. And now I have a season's path, you know, like you embrace it, even if it's not in the workplace.
Yeah.
You can challenge yourself. You can say, hey, there's a skill to be learned. How do I fix it? How do I learn it? So it doesn't always have to be in that work setting. It's funny. I have had interview questions where I'm like, I don't know if I have a work example for that, but I have a life example.
Yeah.
That's authenticity. That's coming in conversational, talking to this person as a human to human. You know, these interviewers are not robots. Like,
right,
being personal with them and using your entire life as a repository for experiences, super valuable.
Yes. I remember my first job I ever interviewed for. It was for a product development and marketing assistant. And I went in all me. I didn't know who else to be. You know,
well,
I was coming out of college.
Point.
I was just like, take it or leave it. I got no experience. And so I remember they offered me $29,000, which was less than what I was making as a makeup artist at MAC. And I was offended. So I was like, if you want me, you will pay me $34,500. And this is my bare minimum. And now even thinking of that, I was like, oh God, so low. But they came back and they offered me the job. And my response to them was, are you shitting me? And when it flew out of my mouth and I was like, oh my God, oh my God. And I just sat there and I was like, what did you just do? What did you just do? You just ruined this whole opportunity. And then the interviewer, she's like, that just made me love you that much more. This is why we're hiring you, because we love you. And just so you know, because you requested the higher pay, we also did that for the other assistant who's coming on at the same time as you. And I was like, thank God that I did not cave to being somebody else to get the job. And thank God that I allowed myself to be okay not having a filter. And that is honestly something in business. People have always told me, don't lose that part of you, because it's what makes you magical. And so many people, and I know I got to this point when I went to Estee Lauder, I was so afraid to be me, because you needed to fit a certain mold to succeed in that environment. And I lost a part of myself because I tried so hard to fit in. I was people pleasing. I was trying to be, you know, the most perfect me. And I look back to that version of myself and I send her so much love, because it was the only time in my career that I wasn't 100% authentically me. And this was me at the pinnacle of me working my dream job. And I'm showing up as some weird robot who's like freakishly just trying to fit in. And I'm like, oh God, like yucky.
I'm so glad you bring that up, because when I think back to that dream company that I was practicing every pitch for them, when it came down to the interview, I was mortified. I felt that I couldn't be myself. I walked away from the interview in tears, mostly because I thought I failed. The one thing I had set my sights on, and I failed. Again, I got the job, but then I had that lingering feeling of I wasn't myself. And again, if I have to show up to work and be that person and you know, keep up this facade, like that is exactly, not exactly, but one of the many reasons that I left the career I had and decided to go into this other career. The company I'm in now, I was cracking jokes at that interview. And I will never forget. I can walk you through my three interviews. The first one, I don't think he asked me a single interview question. He had lived in Miami for a few years. I'm like, oh my gosh, started naming like random streets in Miami. It was super conversational. I was like laid back in the chair. Second interview, okay, we had a few more behavioral, tell me a time when, all that stuff. So I was like, okay, they're definitely evaluating me, which I'm okay with, but you know, I kind of felt relaxed.
Yeah.
And that third one was this blend, but thematically in all of them, I was like, I was myself. I was joyful. I was funny. I got to the point when I needed to, but I didn't feel like I had to put on a mask or pretend to fit in because I wanted this gig, right?
Yeah.
And it's a point that I wanted to make earlier. It is a tough market, and I know many people are just looking to land something because they have responsibilities, because they don't want this gap in their career, whatever the reasons might be. Don't take for granted that while you're being interviewed, you're also interviewing them.
Yes.
You want to make sure that this is a company that you're going to feel good at, a company that you have opportunity to grow in. When I thought about my career switch, I was like, I only want to do this once. So like, I'm going to do this right. I'm going to pick the right company. I didn't want to then get in 5 years later and be like, nope, wasn't for me. I made another mistake and have to start over, right? Break up.
Yeah.
I didn't want that. So as much as I was, you know, bringing my best foot forward to these interviews and trying to impress, I'd always walk away and say, Did I feel good about that? If I was hired, would I accept?
Yeah.
Or was there something just not right about it?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, ultimately, if you were to get an offer and something didn't feel right and you decided, I'm going to turn that down, that is not failure. That is one of the biggest lessons, because what you realized, it was another piece of that self-discovery, another puzzle piece that you just put together. Because you can go and name it and say, I didn't like XYZ. I didn't like how they always talked about the bottom line or whatever it might be, or how, you know, they saw this organization really as like secondary to this other, whatever it was, it's going to click for you to say, that's not something I want in the role, in the career that I'm looking for. So you have to take those aha moments and build them into this list of, these are the deal breakers for me. This is what I really want in my career. And again, yes, put your best foot forward, but trust your gut. If it's not right, there'll be something else.
Yes. And don't force it. I always think of interviewing like dating, right? It's like remembering that they need you. There's an open position and they need you. So you have all the power. And I was just coaching my client on this because I told her to treat her resume and her cover letter as if she was making her dating profile. And I wanted to see exactly how, if it matched the her that I knew. And she submitted to me this fake dating profile. I was like, what is this shit? Yeah. I was like, no, no, no. This is not who you are. I was like, this is who you want to be on paper. So if you want to be, then let's do the work to get you there. But as of right now, this is not who you are. So you're going to be selling them this image that this is who they're getting when they start this dating conversation, and they're going to marry you and all of a sudden be like, wait, hold on. This isn't who I married. And she's like, oh my God, I've never thought about it like that before. And I was
like,
yeah,
you the best analogy.
Right.
It is like dating.
It is. And I was telling her, I was like, okay, so you're a vegetarian. Would you go put on your dating profile that you eat meat and potatoes, like what they ask? And she's like, no. I was like, well, then why are you doing this with your, with her, with your application and your resume? Yeah. And so we got it to a point where I was like, I want you to feel so uncomfortable being so yourself that it feels like level 10 naked in public vulnerability. And that's what I want to see on your resume, because that's what's going to make a lasting impression. This perfect thing that you just showed me, you will never get hired. You will be put in the round file or in the delete folder of people who never get seen. And I was like, and on top of it, I want you to then bring that same level of vulnerability and go write the person who is going to be interviewing you a letter. And she's like, what? And I was like, email them directly. And she's like, oh my God, Elise, they probably get so many emails. I was like, stop. I was like, do you know how, as an executive in my career, do you know how many times people cold pitched me? And people would say, oh, you probably get so many people reaching out all the time. That's something I heard my whole entire career. Zero. When I finally started speaking at my college, I was like, anybody can send me a letter and say, hey, Elise, I heard you talk at FITM. Can you tell me this, this, and this? This is about me. Here's me, blah, blah, blah. And I'll write back to you. I will give you feedback. Like, use this. And still, nobody messaged me. And I'm like, I used to be that person too that would always think like, oh, the president of that company probably gets informational interview requests all the time. And then I would talk to presidents' companies and I'm like, do you ever get informational interview requests? And they're like, no. And they're like, you would think I would get more, but I don't. But people are so intimidated to reach out and be vulnerable.
That's what it is. And I'm in no way saying go email every CEO and every CHRO, because I'll tell you, my CHRO would get those emails and then they got funneled to me. But it's not to say that they weren't looking at them. Sometimes they funneled to me as the recruiter to say, hey, can you kind of like talk to this person on the right way of approaching the career side or whatever it is? Or they might say, you know, this profile looks interesting. Can you go and have an initial conversation? So I think bottom line is be bold, because if it's not that you're writing a letter to the CEO or to the president or to whoever, be bold with your network.
Yes.
Started this conversation. We were bold in meeting each other and starting a conversation and starting a relationship and a friendship. The worst they can say is no. Build your network on LinkedIn, you know, in the workspace, whatever it is, and ask of that network. Ask for connections, ask for feedback, ask for, you know, if they've worked with you directly, say, hey, I'm trying to shift into this or do this. Do you think I do this well? Is there an opportunity for me to improve? Like, be really bold about asking for feedback and asking, I don't want to call them favors, but saying, hey, I'm, you know, looking to get into this organization. I see you have a mutual connection. Is that someone that you'd be willing to introduce me to? They say yes. Oh my gosh, awesome. They say no, great. Maybe you reach out to that mutual connection directly and say, hey, we have so-and-so in common. you know, I would love to talk to you and pick your brain about what it's like to work at this company, whatever it is, but you have to get creative.
Yes.
Because it is a tough job market. If you find, you know how many LinkedIn messages I get from
so many.
People I've never met, but they're like, hey, I see you're a recruiter. Here's my elevator pitch, right? This is what I do well. This is why I want this opportunity. I often will look at that and say, okay, yeah, let me go connect them to the right person, or let me have a conversation with them. You just never know how that person is going to respond.
Yes.
Take your shot.
Yes, I love that. And one tip that I want to offer you all too is when you hear no, because you will, that is a part of this process. This is a part of putting yourself out there. Do not make it mean anything about you as a person, because no doesn't mean anything personal about you unless you decide it does. It just means life is closing a door to an opportunity that was not meant for you. Move on to the next one. And I see so many people stop at the first no. And for me, I'm like, oh, the first no, that's just when we're getting started. That's when we just, you know, I'm like warming my hands up here. It's because I love to get to yes. And I'm one of those people. Yeah. I will do whatever it takes to get to, well, not whatever it takes, but I will do a lot to get to yes. Right.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things that's a challenge for me. And I'm like, cool. That first no is going to lead me to my next yes. And I'll do what you did, get resourceful. And I have the most incredible network of people who have carried me through my whole entire career. And I have been so blessed to where I only had to work with a recruiter once. And then my other job I found on Craigslist, ironically, I'm going to date myself, or monster.com at the time. But it was just one of those things that then I got my foot in. And then all of a sudden, here's all these people backing me, like, oh my God, you have to hire Elise. And they're putting, you know, references in for me. And I didn't even ask for that. But that's the importance of having a network. 100%.
And I will say, I love that point. Don't be afraid of the no. Mm-hmm. And if you can be even bolder, and when they give you the no, say, do you mind if I ask why not?
Yes. Yes. Be willing now, to hear it. Yes.
Now the no isn't just a no. It turns into an observation, a piece of feedback, something that you can adjust. Maybe it was, well, you know, when we asked you that question about whatever it was, we just felt that there wasn't enough about this. And you might say, well, actually, that's exactly what my experience was. Okay, going forward, the next interviewer that asked me that, this is how I'm going to pitch that question. Yes. So have the fearlessness.
Yes.
Take it one step forward and say, oh, I understand. It's a no. Can I ask why?
I love that. That is so powerful. Because what you keep saying to self-awareness, like, I find so many people that are like, I'm so self-aware. I'm like, oh, you're not self-aware at all, because they would never be willing to hear that, to hear the answer to that question, because they would make it mean something personal about them versus seeing it as a growth opportunity. And if something triggers you, that is just a growth opportunity revealing itself. So be willing to hear it. Be willing to hear, you know what, when you came into this interview, like, I gave a girl this feedback. She had cat hair all over her. She told me when I asked her, we're going to get to this question in a second, I asked her to tell me a weakness she has. And she looked at me and she's like, I'm very insecure and I really struggled to get ready for this interview today. And I was like, yeah, actually I could tell, you know, the lip roller, that would be a great thing to invest in, you know. Yeah. And we had a whole conversation about it, and she ended up following up with me a year later, and she's like, I'm so glad that I was willing to hear what you had to say, because look at the job I got now. And she's like, I took everything you said to heart, I applied all of it. And I'm like, amen. That is how we grow. But if we're not willing to hear the feedback because we're so scared of making it mean something terrible about ourselves, like, you're just robbing yourself of growth. Ugh.
And I'll tell you, I'm going to be like super vulnerable here. I pride myself. I like to think that I am pretty self-aware, not fully, because if I say I know everything about myself, then there's no growth.
Right.
But I will also admit that while I could be the most self-aware person, I could give you, I always say like this, I was like, I could give you a list of all my flaws.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that I'm actively working on them.
Right.
Ooh. I'm not saying that as soon as you identify your flaw or your weakness, all right, that's it. Now you have the accountability to go and fix it. No, if you're not there yet, that's part of your growth. That's part of your journey, but at least stop fooling yourself. Like, be honest with what that vulnerability, with what that weakness is, with what that opportunity is. Recognize it first. I would say name it first.
Yeah.
Then get to it when you want to get to it.
Yes. Oh, so good.
Give yourself the grace that you don't have to now go after that list of 5-10 flaws and fix all of them. No, but you know them.
Right.
You know.
Right. Okay. So let's talk about how to answer the dreaded question. Tell me a weakness that you have. What is your feedback on this? I know you've got a lot of thoughts here.
Tell them an actual weakness.
Yes. Yes.
Like, don't sugarcoat. Don't go online. What are the right weaknesses to say in an interview? No, be self-critical. I will tell you some of my favorite answers of my own. Weakness, I multitask way too much to a point that I've convinced myself that I'm effective. I'm not. So what did I do? I realized that me trying to multitask was actually a hindrance. So my weakness is not a weakness, it's a hindrance. My hindrance is that I multitask. Great. So I said to myself, hey, new rule. When you pick something up from your desk or when you open an email, you cannot touch anything else until you are done with that task. So you're prioritizing. Now, granted, you might open an email and say, okay, this now is not the time for this. When this one requires a little bit more research or I need a couple of hours, let me go and solve these other ones. But don't have 10 things going on at once. So what I did is I named the trait, but I also named that learner mentality, how I had fixed it. And how did I do this? Like, oh, I had, you know, taken this like efficiency in the workplace course. And it was one of the tips that they gave and it just like really stood out to me. So you start to build the story of, yeah, I have a weakness, but I'm also trying to work on it. And I know why. Other one, I am a great ideator. Like I can come up with really far-fetched solutions that I think could solve these huge problems. But it takes me some time to get from ideation to implementation.
Yeah.
And I call that out. I'm like, PMing, like program managing, project managing, not my super strong skill, but I know in every role that I've had at my company, that skill is necessary.
Right.
What have I done? Purposely challenged myself, purposely put myself into the, we call them V teams, like the virtual teams that's going to work to solve this problem, or gone after the role that I know is going to require more of those skills and surround myself with the people that I can learn that skill from.
Yes.
So it's okay to say like, I don't know how to do this, but the reason that I'm okay with that is that I know the people I can go to either leverage to get that thing done or to learn from to get that thing done. So it's having the hindrance or the weakness, but also having the escape plan.
Yes.
That's the best way to answer that question.
Right. Oh, I love that. I always used to answer, like I was telling you before we started, that I'm a perfectionist because I felt like that was just saying like, I'm really good and I want to strive for perfect. And then I realized that was such a BS answer. So my fatal flaw is I always take on too much because I want to do it all. And I'm so overly excited and ambitious. And next thing you know, I'm buried underneath a mountain of to-dos and pressure and I'm crumbling and I fall apart. And I remember saying that in an interview and they were like, we love the honesty there. And
I was
like,
about to say the way that you've answered that. The authenticity behind, oh, I take on too much, but it's because like I'm super excited.
It's
like
the truth.
Now you're showing your weakness, but you're also showing your true self. And and you're kind of like breaking those barriers of, oh, this weakness, it's a bad thing. It's, I don't mean to be bad at this. I just so excited.
I love it all.
Exactly.
I'm the excited puppy. I'm like, oh my God, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it.
I tingle when I see you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So
it's
all in how you say it and how you talk about it. And just don't, I think back in the day, a weakness was probably used against you. Like someone was writing that down, like can't hire them.
Yeah.
They work too much, you know, whatever it was. That's not what we're looking for now. We're looking for that mitigation plan. Okay.
Yes.
This weakness presents a risk. How are you going to mitigate that? How is your weakness not going to be a problem for us?
Yes.
You've thought it through. You've not even the action. Like that sounds so heavy. You've taken the first step.
Yeah.
Whatever that step is in trying to work on that weakness.
Yes.
I
feel like Miss... It's so good. And I feel like you just gave everybody the most beautiful formula to work with. Embrace the failure mentality. Plus, identify learnings and then share how you applied the learnings equals success. It's as simple as that. Like, let's just break it down into a very simple equation.
Because it makes it applicable. It makes it attainable.
Yeah.
When we break these fears, these challenges down to the granular level, you find that all you need to focus on is what do I need to do next?
Yeah.
Who do I need to talk to next? Maybe it's not what do I do? Who do I need help from next? Please, let's all embrace asking for help.
Yes.
No one, I can't, and maybe it's because I'm living appear in the mega companies, but I cannot think of an organization where an individual is expected to solve something on their own.
Yeah.
You are expected to leverage the work of others, the knowledge of others, to connect the dots and kind of build this team-like solution. Yes, you have your individual accountabilities, but no one is doing it on their own.
Yes.
Ask for help.
Yes. There's no I in team. Oh, I've been waiting to say that one.
There's no I in team. Yeah. And don't give me that, but there is a me. I don't care. Stop saying.
Okay, I have two final questions for you.
Let's do it.
Let's talk, and we've talked a little bit about this, but how to interview and present yourself with confidence, because I find that to be a big thing where people struggle as well. What do you got for me there?
Interviewing, regardless of how many times you've done it, is always going to be scary. You're going to have nerves. If someone out there is like, oh, I do this perfectly, I'm never nervous, please call me and teach me your tricks. But again, naming what you're feeling. I feel nervous. I have nervous energy. Get rid of that nervous energy. So what I'm going to give is a physical tip to how to do that. And I will not take credit for this. I did a business improv course or class when I was in business school. And you basically, you're going to kind of like shake the energy off, right? So you're going to go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then do the same with each leg. And then you're going to go 4, 3, 2, 1, 4, 3, 2, 1. And you do that and you find that your energy, like that nervous energy, kind of shakes off. And what you're left with is like, okay, there's still some nerves because this is a big moment, but I'm kind of shaking away the nervous energy. So just from like a physical point, start with that. And if it's not the shaking, do something, maybe walk fast around your room, your office, do something to
breathe.
Of course, that's number one before, after you do whatever, if you run a lap around your neighborhood, you sit down and you take those deep breaths because you need to get yourself in a zen level.
Yeah.
As far as the actual like confidence in the interview, it's not going to happen in that moment. It's going to happen in everything you've done up until then.
Oh, I love that. Can we just pause on that? I feel like I need to mic drop that because yes, here's the thing about confidence. It is created from taking action. So all of that preparation, all of that studying, every ounce of everything that you're doing to get to that moment.
It's not a switch that you're like, oh, I need to be confident. No, it is built upon. So you need to know your story. You need to speak to it clearly, like you're just having a conversation, like it's not rehearsed. And the way that you do that is, surprise, surprise, learning about yourself, right? So the way I used to do it was, what are some of the top things that they're going to ask me? Okay, they're going to ask me a time when I failed. They're going to ask me, you know, a time when I had to influence a superior, whatever those behavioral questions might be, based on the job description, what the company's values are, all of those things. I said, okay, let me have examples prepared and not made up, but instead, okay, well, remember that time you did that project? I mean, that's exactly what you were doing. You were influencing, it didn't turn out how you. So I put those talking points to paper so they were fresh in my mind. And I knew for each question, what example am I going to draw on?
Yes.
You don't have one example that you're using for every question. Like that's just going to say, is that all you've ever done? Right.
Yeah.
So having these different stories that you can tell, know those inside out, know them well, talk about them with ease. So none of the confidence is going to happen in that moment. It's all the preparedness that you've done up until that point. That's game changing.
I hope everybody hears this and writes that down because that is gold.
prepare. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
And I wonder if it's not about, oh, I have to put in hours and hours of preparation before every interview. What you find is that as you spend hours preparing for that first interview, the next one gets a little bit easier because all you're doing is learning to tell your own story. You're not memorizing a monologue. You're not memorizing the words in a book that is not about you. It is your life experience.
Yeah.
Know how to tell that story.
Yes.
And you're going to see just how comfortable you get in being able to speak And it shouldn't feel like you're answering interview questions. Instead, it should feel like a conversation where one answer prompts a new question. And I know exactly how I'm going to speak to this, right? So just take the time. It's not going to come easy.
Yes. Oh, so good. Okay, final question. And I think this is what we've all been waiting for. Is what is a tip that you have? Do you have like a golden nugget when it comes to really getting paid what you want to get paid?
Everyone's favorite question. look, I'll start by saying research.
Yeah.
Do your research. There's so much available out there on compensation ranges. And I will say, like, take it with a grain of salt. You don't know what all is getting posted in these sites, but do your research. There is, you know, market data to show what an analyst at this with this much experience would be getting paid in the ballpark of what they would be getting paid, or XYZ. So come in with a founded pitch with the I know why I'm asking for this. Again, it's going back to like tying it together.
Yeah.
My research has shown that folks with this experience that are able to do these responsibilities, which this job calls for, should be getting paid this much.
Yeah.
Also, if your goal is to get the job, don't over-exaggerate. If you are going to be happy with $100,000, do not ask them for $175,000 and think, oh, they're going to land somewhere in the middle. The important part to know is that most companies have a very robust compensation team that is building these pay structures for these roles based on market data.
Yeah.
No company, I can't use generalizations, most companies are not out to screw you over.
Yeah.
If it's the right company, a company you want to work for, they're not going to try to screw you over.
Yeah.
They're going to go in with what the market dictates should be paid for this role. If you're finding, okay, I want to get paid $100,000. Oh my gosh, they're only offering 70. My question for you would be, is that role at the right level? Because the reason they're offering 70 is because in their company, this is a little bit more of a junior level. So that's what their pay structure pays for that. Maybe it's about looking at what's the job level above that. Do I still need qualifications? Should I go and interview for that?
That's a really good point, because I've noticed a lot, and I'm looking always at beauty roles because I get them emailed to me. And there's times where a senior manager role might be at, you know, $100,000, and then all of a sudden like a director role for another company is at like $200,000. And then all of a sudden a manager role over here is at like $250,000. So every company is totally different.
I think it's one of the most confusing things.
Yes.
A director in the market is oftentimes much more senior than what a director at our company is.
Yes.
People don't know that. They assume director, oh, that must be like, you know, two levels away from the CEO. No, it's actually like almost six levels away from the CEO, right? So don't go based on title, go based on what's expected. What's the scope of the role that you're applying for? Are you used to managing a team of 10 people and this is actually an individual contributor where you don't manage it? Well, maybe that's not the right level for you. Like, and don't be afraid to ask the recruiter that same thing, right? Hey, I see this role is paying much less than I expected just based on my own experience in these roles. Is there a more senior role that I might be qualified for? You know, just have that conversation, because you just never know if you're putting yourself out there for the wrong job.
That's so true. Oh, so good. I want to add two things to what you said, because I think that when we go into salary negotiations, where I find the women that I've coached and women that I've mentored over the years really get stuck is they feel that they have to say yes to whatever the first offer is, and they are unwilling to hear no. So what I would advise, just two pieces of top line advice, is be willing to walk away and don't ever settle, because if they're not willing to meet you where you're at and they're undervaluing you, do not settle for something that you feel is beneath you, because there are so many opportunities. I think we are all limitless beings. We can all find the right fit for us. You know, my dad always used to say there's an ass for every saddle, right? Like, it's so true. So don't limit yourself to a role that isn't giving you what you want. And the second part of it is, I had a client who was working in a role. She was at 125. She wanted to make 190, so, or 200, sorry. And so she was like, I can't hear no. If I ask for this, I can't hear no. And I was like, but are you willing to hear no at the potential, you know, risk of you hearing yes? Like, what if they say yes to you? So she didn't end up getting the 190, but she got 175. So by her being willing to hear no and being willing to feel uncomfortable during the negotiation process and not settle, she was able to get, they originally offered her, I think it was 150 or something, and then she ended up getting 175. So I was like, that willingness to hear no just made you $50,000. So if they don't give you what you want, be willing to walk away. And I love saying, if you can't meet me here, then I'm going to walk. Or if you can meet me here, then I'm a yes. Those are my, that's it. It's as simple as that. This is business. And like, think of, if you're doing real estate and you're listing your house and you know, every comp in the neighborhood is going for $1 million. Are you going to settle for, you know, 800? No, you're going to get what you want for your house. So why would you not do the same thing for yourself? Right. So be willing to walk away and be willing to hear no, and don't make that no mean anything. That's just the first negotiation point.
That, when you said that during this call, I'm like, that is such key advice. I never take the no personally, unless it's, you know, someone very close to you that is literally telling you to take this personally. Like, there is no reason why any no should be a personal no. It should just be a reflection and an opportunity for growth. The last piece that I'll say about, and I'm glad you brought it up, about, you know, what you want and what they're willing to get. I always talk about, and this is unique to every individual, there is an intrinsic value that no recruiter, no compensation specialist, no hiring manager can calculate. It is the individual. And that intrinsic value could be a variety of things. It could be, okay, this is a salary package, but look at all these benefits. These are benefits I didn't have before, right? There's not an exact monetary value. Like, they're not giving you cash for these benefits, but there's a value to it.
Right.
Experience, right? Are you going into a really exciting sector that's going to add so much value to your resume? That's intrinsic value. Where maybe someone who's going for the same role, but they've already been in that industry, they're like, eh, it's just a different role in a different company, right? Even the potential, the runway ahead for that role. You have two jobs. One is paying you more than this other one, but with this one, you might be promoted in a few years, and maybe that's the highest level. With this one, there is growth opportunity. There is promotion velocity. There's all these different avenues to grow. But yeah, they're paying me $20,000 less than this company. Look at the full picture. Don't just look at the number.
Yep.
Because what you might find is, if you take, I'm going to use easy numbers, this one pays $100,000 and this one's paying $150,000. But this one has all that opportunity. In 5 years, this one might have gotten you to $170,000. But in those 5 years, you got to $200,000 with this one. And you won't be able to know that just by looking at the number. So get creative with, like, what could this step mean for my next step and for the one after that? If in creating that journey, you find closed doors or just like roadblocks in one journey, say, well, maybe even though this one's paying less, the long-term game is there.
Yes.
So don't always look at the bottom, like just that number. There's way more that goes into it.
Yes. I think that's so valuable too, because I remember when I got hired at Estee Lauder, it was like 3 weeks paid vacation, stock options, massive bonus package, unlimited sick time. We got Friday massages. We had wellness days. We had a budget for all these, you know, clothes, car, all blah, blah, blah. Like, I was looking at that. Yeah. And then on top of it, I'm flying first class. And I looked at it and I was like, sure, I was making multiple six figures there, but I was living a $500,000 a year lifestyle when I was working at that job. And it was wonderful, you know? And I look at that now and I'm like, oh God, I didn't ever really take into account. I only looked at the salary before. And thank God I had those stock options, because guess what afforded me to live, or, you know, to start my business.
Yeah,
thank you, Estee Lauder. Thank you. Thank you. You know? Thank you. Thank you. Oh my God. This has been a wealth of knowledge. I am so grateful for you coming on and sharing your time with us and sharing all of your experience. Do you have any last thoughts or last little ditties you want to drop for people?
I was going to be myself and like bring my humor.
Please
literally
do.
One of
Please
my
do.
Favorite movies is Just Friends.
Oh, I love that movie. Yes, yes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Be yourself.
Be yourself.
Be yourself.
Yes.
So yeah, listen to Joyce. No, to Joyce's friend, to Chris Brander's mom. And just be yourself. Yeah.
Oh, so good.
But find out who you are first.
Yeah, and if you need help with that, come talk to one of us. We will help you
help,
figure
exactly.
that out. So you've
I'm
got people.
I'm not friend Elise. Yeah.
Oh my God. Thank you so much for being on with us today. Where can people find you? I know you listed LinkedIn if people want to connect with you.
LinkedIn is the easiest way.
Okay, do me a favor. Actually, you know what? I'll put the link in the show notes so people can just tap and cool. Find you. Amazing.
Have a prayer, Kristen.
Yay. Thank you so much, my love. I'm so grateful for you.
Anytime.
All right. We'll be back on the next episode. See y'all next time. Bye. Oh, hey, thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If this helps you, I would love for you to share the gift of confidence with a friend, because this is how we all grow. So share this with your girls, a coworker, a fellow mama, or your fam on social media, because we all need support in our confidence journey. So sharing can help us heal, feel better, and take steps to grow now. Also, I'd love if you would drop your rating in. Ratings and reviews help me so much more than you realize. And if you found yourself listening today and thinking, I need professional support, I would love to invite you to join the CAN program, where I will teach you how to take confident action now. If increased confidence is what you want, this is multiple months of dedicated you time where we will do the deep work on you to create your most confident self, both personally and professionally. Because once you know how to generate the feeling of confidence from the inside out, the possibilities become endless and your results become inevitable. This is the most valuable investment you will ever make in yourself, and I cannot wait to see who you become on the other side of doing this work on you. So visit me at soulmakeup.com to learn more, or come be my bestie on Instagram. You can find me at your soul makeup. See you next time.